whether you're singing songs dressed as a traffic cone at the Ali Pali, roaring yourself hoarse on the first day of Cheltenham, or hugging a complete stranger after a 98th minute win. At Virgin Bet, we always want you to have a great time without ever losing track of your betting. So whilst there's no such thing as a dead cert, it's a good bet will help you keep it fun and safe. Visit our Safer Gambling Hub for more info. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Bet responsibly. 18 plus, gamblerware.org.
I'm just waiting for you to say something.
I was wrong about this.
There you go. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I'm gonna try my best, Tim, to not breathe into the microphone. It seems like every other episode, someone's throwing darts at me. Get some nasal breathe strips. Do this and do that. It just is a habit. But anyways, thank you for joining us. Tim's in North Carolina. I'm in Michigan, and you're wherever the hell you are. I don't know, but thanks for joining us. We're gonna have a good show today. Tim's excited because there was a big trade in his home state that we're going to just really dissect and get into. But first, I just want to know how Tim's doing. How's your love life, Tim? We haven't
dug into that
in a while.
There's an update that we have. You know about John, but I haven't talked about it on the show. Julie and I.
Oh my gosh, you're going to tell everyone?
Moving in together.
Oh.
We got the keys on Sunday to our new place. He gave it to us a week early, which is great. The landlord's awesome. So we've been moving in a little bit all week. It's right in here in Charlotte, the same community that Julia lives in now. It's only a mile from where I'm at now. It's really nice. Like, we're renting it, but it's a condo with a two-car garage. Like, it's one of those like tall, skinny, you know, units and little personal rooftop up top. It's great. It's a really beautiful spot. Big step, obviously. It's not something I've ever done before. I've never lived with a girlfriend before. So this is the big one, but very exciting.
Separate bedrooms?
One bedroom.
Oh my gosh.
Two bedrooms. So I'm going to have a recording office and little studio too, which is nice.
Look at you. That's exciting. So, well, obviously the next logical step is marriage.
One would think. Yeah. One might say that.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in the baby carriage.
That's right. And actually, yeah, I was just thinking that would be a good, send in your advice, listeners. Who have someone's moving in with a partner and girlfriend for the first time.
I thought you were going to say, send in your advice on how to propose. Send me some ideas. That's what I thought where
knee,
that was going.
Which knee does it matter? Is important?
It's the right knee. Typically, I would guess you, I would imagine you're a very romantic guy. So you've been planning this for your whole life. That's just something you would plan, right?
I wouldn't say my whole life. No, but it's something everyone thinks about.
Because you've proposed to how many girls so far?
Four and a half, if you count, depending on if
she
you count.
She was a midget. She's still a person, Tim. It's unbelievable.
Oh, man. I don't think that's the word anymore, John.
Is it little person?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. But
for all our midgets listening out there, I apologize. My sincerest apologies. I can't even see you. So it's just like, what are you going to do? Imagine, let's not even go down that road. All right. There was a big, okay, go ahead.
Well, this is a little trivia question just came up. I saw this yesterday or over the weekend. Who's the shortest player in the NHL right now?
Right now? Oh my goodness. Lane Hudson?
Nope.
I don't know.
I thought it was Cole Caulfield. I thought another guess that was Marchand. It's DeBrinket.
Alex DeBrinket.
5'6" or 5'7". Yeah, he's tiny.
I've played with some short players, and to be honest, they're always very good.
Yeah, you have to be. If you're in the NHL at that size.
Tremendous. When I was at Michigan Tech, the best player on our team, hands down, was Chris Connor. And he probably was 5'5", 5'6", and he was just so incredibly good. And then obviously I progressed on a Nathan Gerby. I had him on my team, and he was just a bundle of energy. Friend of the show, I think.
Yep, a few times.
All right, let's dig into this trade. People don't want to hear about your love life and your successes and failures. And you're living in sin. Unbelievable. Living together. Get married, Tim. let's just move on before I get fired up. Big trade. Would you like to break down the trade? Because this was a shock. I texted you right away when I found out. You were unaware of it. Complete seismic shifting trade. And I'm not overstating this. It's very rare in hockey when you see a Stanley Cup contending team, the Colorado Avalanche, trading their second best player, third best player, to another Stanley Cup contending team. It's so bizarre that this happened mid-season. Just give us the specifics, Tim. Who got what?
Yeah, and even third best player, it's belittling to the talent that he is. He's a top 10 player in the NHL, top 10 forward at least, right? So
absolutely.
Carolina picked up Mikko Rantanen and Taylor Hall in a three-team trade. Colorado got Nietzsche, Jack Drury, a second and a fourth. And Chicago, for facilitating the trade, got a third round pick and retained 50% of Rantanen's salary. So they're getting rid of Hall and taking up 50%, but they're getting a third back, which is theirs originally, which is high, which is almost a second round pick. But the big news, of course, is Rantanen and Nietzsche. Those are the two big moves. And it's an interesting trade because, like you said, it came out of nowhere. And my first reaction was like, why? They're competing for a cup. They're right in it. The West is open. McKinnon's playing his best hockey, leads the league in points. Makar is top five. Like, it's incredible. Why would they get rid of Rantanen? And you dig into, like, all the reporting, and it's still breaking, like, a little bit every day of kind of as the smoke clears, a lot of people saying stuff, a lot of conflicting reports, and you watch how this trade unfolded, and it's really interesting.
And good on the Carolina Hurricanes and their GM, Tulsky, because he came in, you know, he took over a Carolina team that their modus operandi, or however the hell you say that, they've in-house development, pride themselves on their defense, just hard work, everybody pulling on the rope the same way. That's how we're going to win. We're going to win it as a team. And I've been saying this for years, and everybody's been just all over me. Not everybody, but most people. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. This GM gets it. You can be successful. You can be a good franchise. You can progress, maybe win a round, maybe win two rounds. If you want to win a Stanley Cup, Tim, you need a superstar. You need a guy at that moment who you can go get me a goal right now. We need it. It is crunch time. We're down a goal. Go score right now. Go get me the game winner in overtime. Rantanen is that guy. He's done it. I know he rides shotgun to McKinnon, and maybe he's a Robin to his Batman. This is a moose of a power forward. He is absolutely super skilled. He is going to take off in Carolina. Just mark my word. He's already playing with Aho and Blake. They're going to be a great line. But good on the Carolina GM, Tulsky. He switched it up. He has completely changed the way they operate there. You go out and you get Brent Burns. You go out and you make a change. You tried for Gensel last year. It didn't work out. And then you swing for the fences this year and you bring in the best possible option up front. Name a better forward you could have gotten. There's not one out there. This is it. He's going for it. He might not keep this guy at the end of the season. He's going for it, Sam. This is exactly what you want in a GM just trying to win the Stanley Cup. I scream this from the mountaintops over and over again. What are we doing this for? Are we trying to win the Stanley Cup? This guy is. Hell yeah. I love this move. And it might backfire, much like that Finnish guy in Columbus did a few years ago when he held on to Bobrovsky, held on to Panarin, and they flamed out in the playoffs and he's got egg on his face. That guy can go to bed at night saying, you know what? I went for it. I went for it, man. I didn't play the safe card and trade everybody and rebuild and this and that. No. You go for it. You stand on it. You go for the cup. And then whatever happens, whatever will be, will be. So I love this move for the Carolina Hurricanes. Colorado Avalanche? I don't mind it for them, but let's stay on Carolina. What does he do for the Hurricanes, Tim? Why now?
Yeah, so they were working the phones. Tulsky wanted to make a move, and like you said, they were missing that guy. Like, and this is not to disrespect Aho, he's an incredible player, but you need the finisher, you need the playoff guy, and they went out and got it. But they were working the phones, and Vancouver obviously was the center of attention with a JT Miller, Elias Pettersson drama. One of those guys is going to be on the move. That's still going to happen. So Carolina was in on that. They were negotiating. At one point, there might have even been a trade in place, and they wanted Pettersson. And it was actually more to acquire Pettersson than it ended up giving up for Rantanen. Pettersson being a center, younger, under control. They weren't willing to give up that much, so they went with Rantanen instead. They also were willing to trade Nietzsche's for Rantanen that they weren't willing to do for a Miller or a Pettersson. So they went out and make the move. But the timing of it is a little questionable, or at least it asked the question of why now? Because we knew that Rantanen and the Avs were negotiating, and that you would have thought that they had until at least the trade deadline, if not the summer, to get something done. Just like we're looking at with the Leafs and Marner and a few other players. So Rantanen is obviously a pending UFA, and it brings up the question, why did this happen now? Why couldn't it have continued through the season? And this is where it starts to get really, really tricky, because all these conflicting reports are coming out. There's a lot of finger pointing and a lot of blaming going on. And it starts with Rantanen. Last summer, a report came out, actually last fall, I think it was October, report came out that Rantanen believes that he could make $14 million in the open market. Obviously, the Avalanche couldn't do that for a few reasons. One is just the cap crunch. MacKinnon already makes 12 and a half. Makar is going to be making at least that in the near future. So you just add up the numbers, and it's really hard to think that Rantanen should be the highest paid player in the league, making more than the other superstars on his team. Elliot Friedman reported that the Avalanche were willing to make him the highest paid winger in the NHL. Right now it's Panarin, which would be number around 11.5, 11.75 AAV, which is a lot of money, but it's a long ways off from $14 million. So you look at the timing of a trade and you think, okay, the Avalanche starting to realize that they can't get this done before the deadline. They're not going to get it done before the summer. They're too far apart. They're not going to get the number they want. So they make the move now to maximize his value in return, which makes a lot of sense, wouldn't you say, John?
Yeah, if you're Chris McFarland, if you're the Avalanche general manager and you're looking how the market's shaking out and you're seeing this team in your conference, the Vancouver Canucks, dangling two superstars, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, I'm negotiating with Rantanen. I'm trying to get this contract done. It's not working. He wants 14 plus million. I don't want to invest 14 plus million in three players, because we know Makar, he's going to get 13, 14 million when his deal's up in 2 years. So you have to start thinking, what teams are in the market for a superstar of that caliber and can afford a superstar of that caliber and we can get a good return on? There's not a lot. There is not a lot of teams that are in that small market. So you got to get in the game, man. You can't just sit on your hands and wake up at the trade deadline and go, okay, I have Rantanen. What can you give me? It won't be as high as it is right now because your value is high. Rantanen is a superstar. You can get acclimated with the team and you're the first to the dance. Typically, when you look at the trade deadline and you look at a trade season in any given year, the first deals kind of always get the highest return. And then it just peters off after that. When the Hagel got two first rounders, Gaudreau got a couple first rounders, then it just, they set the market and then it goes down after that. So I like what he did. He went out, he saw Carolina and had a need. They were kicking the tires in Vancouver. He came in and he came under Vancouver's ask for Pettersson. Reportedly, he comes in, he goes, I got this Nietzsche's guy. He's good. And if I'm, you know, Tulski, Nietzsche's was a pain in his ass a couple of years. He wanted superstar money. He wanted minutes. He wanted to be on the first line. He probably remembered that. He's like, all right, well, what is he going to do in 2 years when his deal's up? He's already shown his true colors, that he's going to be a pain in my side when it comes to negotiations, and his ask is super high, and he's just wanting, doesn't seem like a super team guy. Go to Colorado. Be a superstar in Colorado. We'll take Rantanen. Rantanen seems like a moose of a power forward who is very low maintenance. He's already played with two superstars and he doesn't really complain much. He's okay with playing that role. Then you can come to Carolina and we got enough money. When you look at Carolina's books next year, they can pay him $14 million, Tim. They're perfectly just, their contract situation is great for that. So I like what he did and I like what McFarland did too. He saw that Rantanen was asking too much. He went and, you know, surveyed the field and he made a deal. Yes, his team is worse today than it was yesterday. But are you going to let Rantanen walk in the offseason? Are you going to hope he takes a hometown discount? Or do you have to make a move now to extend your window? You have arguably the best defenseman and the best forward in the world. You have to continue to try to win hockey games. So I think both GMs did a great job. I think obviously Carolina gets the best player. But at the end of the day, it's a win-win for both teams.
Yeah, it's interesting for Colorado too. And I had to look this up, but when they won the cup in 2022, it was off obviously Makar and a good goaltending performance, but the big three forwards were MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen.
Yeah.
You know, Landeskog has never played since that because of injuries. So it's weird to think that like what should have been the beginning of like a little dynasty, those three guys never played together again, and they never will, which is a little bit strange to think about. But it kind of, McFarland was addressing the question that we've been talking about a lot with Toronto. Do you stick with the player and have one big run together and risk losing him for nothing in the summer, or do you maximize the value now? And it's a lose-lose scenario, because if you don't win the cup, then you lose the player for nothing. If you keep him, you know, there's a lot of things here. And it's always hard when you trade away one of the star players. Obviously, he opted for that. We'll see what the Leafs do with Marner. But then the situation starts to get really interesting, as if the trade wasn't interesting enough. But all these reports start coming out, and then suddenly it's like, okay, what was really going on in Colorado? So about an hour, or maybe the next morning, Andy Strickland of the Cam and Strick podcast, who's broken news before, he's got sources, he said that Rantanen was, quote-unquote, completely caught off guard, and that Colorado didn't show interest in negotiating for long-term. Rantanen is not happy. He's reporting what he's hearing, either from Rantanen or his agents or something. And immediately you have other reporters like Greg Wyshynski and Adrian Dater, who's like the guy in Colorado, said that this Strickland's report was bogus. The team and the player have been negotiating for months. It really ramped up the past couple of weeks. They couldn't get it done. But Rantanen wasn't blindsided. His agent and he knew this was a possibility. Like, this is not really a good report. And Adrian Dater even said, quote, as I wrote back in October, negotiations between Mikko and the Avs stopped before the start of the regular season, and Mikko said he wouldn't talk contract until after the season. If that's true, that puts the team in a really difficult situation. So it's hard to know what exactly to believe, but at the end of the day, the Avalanche knew that they wouldn't get their number, whatever it was, 11.75, maybe 12.5. And this is the really interesting thing that McFarland said. He said, Rantanen had the UFA card. We felt this is what we had to do. He knew like what was coming. It was going to be out of their control. It was either now or never for all the reasons, especially with the trade market being what it is. And now it literally limits the Vancouver's market for Pettersson and Miller. So if you believe what, I don't know, where do you come down on this, John? Who do you incline to believe here?
I think I believe them all. I think it's a he said, she said. Everyone's trying to look good in the press for some reason. I don't get why all the reports have to come out afterwards. Oh, well, I wanted to stay and they didn't. I'm blindsided. I bet you Rantanen was blindsided. He didn't really expect to be traded, rightfully so. And I think they did negotiate a long-term contract, but maybe they haven't done it in the last couple of weeks because they've been working on a trade. I think it's all fair. It's all true. But I never really understood why teams go this route to try to just come out on top in the PR world, media. I don't want to look like I did the player bad, but this is so weird how it mirrors Toronto's situation so closely. The fact that McFarland set that limit, according to all sources, that he did not want to make Rantanen the highest paid player. 12.6 was his max. And Rantanen, if all reports are true, which I think it does make sense, he wanted to be paid more. And I think that falls on McFarland. You can't, and we went back and forth on this too, you can't just set the bar and say, okay, MacKinnon signed this contract a couple years ago, 12.6. Times change. Money's worth less than it was last year than it is now. Inflation, such and such. There's more pool. There's more money to be had. You have to give guys more money just because he's not better than MacKinnon. And the same is going to be said for Mitch Marner. Well, we don't want to give him 13 or whatever, $13.4 million. We can't have him making more than Austin Matthews. Why? Why? Yes, you can. It's fine. When Austin Matthews signed his contract, 13.4 was worth this much. I don't know what he makes. It's around that number, but I don't like that reasoning. And GMs use that to kind of push players' salaries down and say, well, are you the best player on the team? You want to make more than MacKinnon? You know, let's come in right under it. It's a nice number. It doesn't really make sense to me. But to go back to your point, I think I believe both sides. I think both people are trying to, you know, play the victim in Rantanen's case and say, we tried. I didn't want to be traded. And then to McFarland's side, they're like, yeah, we, you know, we're looking out for our team. So it is what it is. Yeah.
And this is the last tidbit on the he said, she said, is that Rantanen actually came out and spoke. He spoke to a Finnish newspaper. Then I think he spoke to one of the guys in Carolina. He said, quote, I was willing to take a significant discount from my market value. We had some chats a couple of days before, then they traded me. That's why I didn't expect it. Which brings begs the question, what did he think the market value was? And significant discount could be $1 million. So he's like, hey, I'm worth 14, 14 and a half. I'll take 13. And it's like, well, you're already like 2 million over what we want to be at. So that's not really a huge discount. So yeah, we won't really know, but more information will come out. But Mick, he wasn't the only one blindsided. Head coach Bednar didn't know. McKinnon didn't know. They were asked after their game last night, and you could see how deflated they were. McKinnon even said, I never thought in a million years he would leave. It just sucks. So this is a blow to a locker room. This is a group that's been together for a long time, and Nietzsche is a good player. He might even be a 100-point player in this system playing with McKinnon and McCarr, but Rantanen was part of this group, and now he's not. So yeah, this is a huge fallout for them.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's a business. I think you have to put feelings aside and do what's best for your team. And yeah, I think you're right. Nietzsche could be a 100-point player. And Rantanen, for as good as he's been, he's 105 is his ceiling. So, the comparables are there. Nietzsche is having a really great season. He shot out of a cannon to start the year, and he's kind of petered off a little bit, but he's still playing great hockey. I think AC in our Patreon, he's got like a Nietzsche tattoo on his shoulder. He's like so in love with this guy. He's probably distraught that Carolina Hurricanes traded him, but it's a great trade for team. It's a great trade for players. Nietzsche is going to get the opportunity. Rantanen is going to get a boatload of money thrown at him from Carolina. And I think it's a win-win. It's one of the rare cases where I think when you look back in 5 years, both teams will be happy with the deal. It's very rare when that happens. There's usually a clear-cut winner. But after this, the fallout, Tim. Does Carolina get the stamp of approval for Stanley Cup contender number one? They take over the Capitals spot, maybe? Are they the team in the East to beat now?
I think you have to think they were. They were arguably already were. I mean, you'd throw the Capitals. I would throw Florida, maybe. I mean, that was kind of it. Like, there's not a lot of this. Every Toronto. Other team has major questions. Yeah, I mean, Toronto. But yeah, so Carolina, if they weren't already, I think you have to say they are the team in the East, not just for the quality of player, but who he is and like, you know, how he plays the game and how it matches with the parts that they were missing. And then the question is, can they sign him long term? He's going to be wanting a lot of money. This is his big contract. I think he's 28 years old. And so if he's going to want 7-8 years, can they make that number work? And is it worth like getting rid of a Svechnikov or Kotkaniemi, one of those type of players in order Absolutely. To make the money work? But Tulski already said, the GM, that they've already had a conversation and they're totally interested in that. And he said, listen, it's going to take some time. I don't expect him to sign away his future without getting a sense for the room and the city and the fans and all that. But you have to think that's going to happen. I think the investment they made means a lot to a player. Players care about that stuff. Like, you gave up a lot to get me. It shows me that you value me, and I want to reward that. So I think this will work out. Nietzsche is a good player, too. He's super fast. I think it pairs well with McKinnon, who obviously plays the game at a high speed. So yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting team to watch. I think they're probably the team in the East. And the parts that I had questions about going into this week, I think have been answered. So I'd be hard-pressed to think of a team that could beat Carolina in a 7-game series right now.
I agree. They're a deep lineup. They have good secondary pieces. They've been there, done that. They might be my favorite coming out of the East. I know it's early. We're 50 games into the season. We still have a couple months left. But boy, oh boy. Name another team that you would feel comfortable picking in a 7-game series versus this Carolina Hurricanes. The one thing, the one sticking point, I think, is Kochetkov that guy. Yeah. You think he is? And if he is, then they're rock solid, top to bottom. I love their defense. I love their forwards. I love everything about this team. And like, there's another sneaky pickup, Sean Walker. They go and grab him this offseason. He's a great defenseman. He just kind of just goes about his business. He's on the third pairing with Gostisbehere. They got a great lineup top to bottom, Tim. This is the year. Brent Burns is going to lift the Stanley Cup if all things go. That'll be great for him. But
oof. I hope so. And you also have the Finnish connection between Aho and Rantanen, who they said they haven't played together since juniors or whatever the equivalent would have been in Finland. But yeah, you see if they have some nice connection. Hopefully that helps them, you know, bridge the gap and sign long term.
Man, Taylor Hall must be ecstatic. He kind of flies under the radar in this deal.
He does.
He's just kind of the thrown in piece from Chicago, which I don't understand. Chicago, I get they retained salary from Rantanen. I get they wanted to get rid of Hall. Could they not have gotten more than a third rounder? You figure just retaining salary, you'd get a third rounder. I don't quite understand how they worked in this situation, not trying to get a little bit more draft capital. but they were there. And Taylor Hall's, he's loving life right now. Second line, flying under the radar, playing with Kotkin and Emmy and Svechnikov. Talk about just a line that has a lot to prove. That second line for the Carolina Hurricanes. Svechnikov, constantly injured, question marks. Can he live up to the potential? Jesper Kotkaniemi, coming over from Montreal on the gigantic offer sheet, still needs to live up to that deal. And Taylor Hall, can he reclaim the status as the Hart Trophy winner, the guy, the first overall pick? There's a lot of boulders on shoulders on that line. So if they get into the playoffs, look for them to kind of break out. And then you bump Seth Jarvis down to the third line with Martinook and Jordan Staal. Like, how crazy is that? This guy was a first-line guy not 2 months ago, and he might find his way back there if Jason Blake falters with Aho and Rantanen, but lots of options for Rod Dabod to play around with. It's a very, very fun lineup for that. All right, anything else on this trade, Tim?
No, I'm excited about what we're getting into next.
What are we getting into?
Whether you're screaming from the stands or the sofa, Virgin Bet has even more for you to shout about this season, because we're giving you a totally free bet builder on a selected football match every week this season. So get ready to make some noise. Join us and claim your bet builder free bet every week. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Use bet builder free bet on selected match by kickoff. Min odds evens. Max one free bet, £1 to £20. Except via pop-up. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Bet responsibly. Gambleaware.org.
To Tim.
So obviously it's a new year, it's 2025, and a lot of teams have been doing these, you know, quarter century teams, the best lineup, and anything from best Americans to best, you know, Bruins or Blackhawks or best, even like the junior teams are doing it, the best players that have come through. So I thought it would be fun for us to do the same thing, and we'll keep it broad. We'll just call it the best NHL players. And John and I were chatting, we're like, rather than just present your list and my list, which would probably look, you know, four out of the six players would probably be the same exact list. Let's do it a little draft style.
Love the draft.
We'll take turns. And I tend to, you tend to win these things. But I have my list ready. So we can each pick. We can't repeat players, obviously. And we're looking at performances from 2000, 2025. But there's a lot of different approaches you can take with this.
There are. Do you go just name recognition? Do you go for guys who everybody will know that are kind of blasts from the past and everybody's nostalgic about? So I could have a, and these might be my picks, so don't get me wrong, but I could have a lineup with like Mario Lemieux and Peter Forsberg and Jaromir Jagr. That's my first line, and have defensemen. Or I could go more realistic and go present day stuff and get a Connor McDavid or a Sidney Crosby, who scored the most points in the last 25 years. I don't know how Tim's going to go. Tim's a stupid millennial, so he doesn't respect the past. So he'll probably just load up on, I'm going to go Makar and I'm going to go Lane Hudson and I'm going to go all these Drysdale and McDavid. They're new. The kids will get that. Not me. I'm going to play it smart. I'm going to see what you're going to do. I'm going to just adapt and I'm going to win. And we'll put this up on our Twitter and our Instagram and our Slack, and we'll see who gets the most votes. But typically I do win. But this time what we're going to do, Tim, people listen. I was going to say, maybe we don't put our names on the teams.
No, we got to. Yeah, that's okay. We'll still put it up on social media for people to vote.
Because people feel sorry for you and you get that pity vote. It's no, so, they don't. So they not. Vote, they do. Honestly. They 100% feel sorry for you. It's
no
like,
one feels sorry for me.
Poor Tim.
Except for you.
He never gets a break. Let's give him the vote. All right. You go first. I will give you the advantage of getting the first overall pick. And it's a huge advantage. Let's be honest.
It is a big advantage, and I will take it. And this is an obvious pick to me. This is a player who has both the stats and the accolades and the hardware, and he's been around for a long time, for most of these 25 years. Number one, Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Obvious pick there. Yeah.
Very, very good pick. He does it all in the 2000s. The guy's been a rock star. So good for him. Good pick. I'm going to go with someone that was born in 1997. He was 3 years old when the new decade came around, but we all know Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
He's the best player on the planet. When you look at just straight points, Crosby laps him. Like, he's got way more points in this last 25 years in this decade. But when you break it down to points per game, points per 60, Connor McDavid is light years ahead of anybody else. There's no one even close. And that's why he's my number one pick, Connor McDavid. I get Crosby's good, but How can you go wrong with Connor McDavid? So fantastic. Great. There's my number one.
That's a great one, because I kind of thought, you know, I'm looking at the list. I'm like, okay, the Crosbys, Ovechkins, Ginlas of the world, Malkin, Thornton, and then McDavid. And he slides down because he's further down the list, like you said, but you realize he's done it in fewer games.
Yeah.
Great pick, John. My next pick, this one feels obvious to me, and it's his partner in crime. It's his archenemy, Alex Ovechkin. I think you got to have the best player of this quarter century, and then the best goal scorer potentially of all time. So Crosby and Ovechkin, my first two there.
He does. You're overloading on guys who are just, they started their career in the 2000s. I think Ovechkin started playing in 2002. Crosby started playing in 2004, 2005. So they played the lion's share all of their career in the 2000s. They've almost played the whole 25 years that we've had in the year 2025. So I know what you're doing, and I get it. I kind of like it. I'm going a different route. I'm going for more quality and less quantity. So the quality of the play is, you're doing a lot with the limited time you have in that decade. So Connor McDavid has only played 10 years in this decade, maybe 11. Good quality, high-end quality. And my next pick, not a lot of time in this decade. And maybe it was the tail end of his career, but he still put up insane amounts of points in the very little time that he had in this decade. And I'm going to get a little bump from name recognition. It's Mario Lemieux. I'm taking Mario Lemieux with my second pick because I can just imagine him and McDavid on that first line. Crosby, Ovechkin, that's fun. That's cute. Lemieux and McDavid are absolutely terrifying to think about on a line together. Big, strong. I know Lemieux's not fast. His vision, his hockey IQ, second to none. You say Sidney Crosby has hockey IQ. Lemieux invented the term. The guy is light years ahead of everybody else. And even Gretzky said, Tim, if this guy doesn't get hurt, he's the best player to ever lace him up. So there you go. I've already won.
This is such a bad pick, John. He played like 150 games since
170.
170, and how many points?
229.
That's great. But this is a 25-year window, and you picked five of them. Okay. All right.
Points per game, points per 60, way more than Crosby. So you have to, I'm going for quality, not quantity. Well, your next pick should be Patrick Marleau then.
No, it's not, but it is. Okay, this is a fun one, and I'm glad this is working out this way because it even balances out the positions. And we can pick defense or goalies, too. There's no order to this. It doesn't matter the order, but I'm going to go with another forward, and this is the guy. It's great to have an American on the list. It's great to have a guy that had won the Calder Trophy and three Stanley Cups. Patrick Kane is my third pick here. Absolutely nasty player. You're rolling your face. Yeah, you're just mad because you're not going to have him on your team now. He's fifth.
I love Patrick Kane. It's a very strange pick. It's a very, very strange pick.
I have seven cups so far in my team.
Do you want to compare Stanley Cups or are we comparing best players? Because I can start picking cup winners. All right, I'll do one right now.
Let's see what you got.
If we're going to do cup winners, I'm going to go on the back end. And I'm going to go with the guy who some say is the best defenseman of all time. And he's won a ton of cups. And he's one of those do-it-all type players. And it might come out of left field. Tim's probably never even heard of this player because he's a little bit older. Nicholas Lidstrom from the Detroit Red Wings. If you talk about a guy who just does it all, talk about a guy who you can plug into any situation and be successful. He's not a run-and-gun type player, but he's put up a ton of points, Tim. Talk about cups. Put down your pipe and smoke. Have a little toke on that. A little cup propaganda stuff here.
Yeah. No, that's a great one. Lidstrom is arguably my favorite player of all time. He's incredible. So yeah, that was good. I probably would have been my next pick.
But it's not.
It's not. So I'm going to pick another defenseman because I don't want you to have both of these guys. And there's so many good players. But I'm going to pick a guy who's still in the league, still playing at a very high level, but he's been around for a while. He's got two cups. He's got only one. It should be more Norris trophies. My top defenseman pick is Victor Hedman.
Oh my gosh, what a terrible pick.
Another Swedish player. Lidstrom is his hero. I am over the moon with Victor Hedman. I don't know. John, he's you can make the case he's the top 10 defenseman in the history of the league. Like, yeah, I'm more than happy with that pick.
I can't believe you're letting me win this easily. He's a great player. oh my gosh, if everybody's listening, Tim does watch hockey. Like, you know, he is a fan. So I don't know where this is coming from. So it's just very bizarre. You're picking Kane and Hedman. This isn't old 2010s team. This isn't, you start in the year 2000.
Let's see what you got, John.
I'm going Cale Makar.
Nice.
The best defenseman since he stepped foot in the league. He changed the way teams play the game. Gone were the days of, you know, Peter Angelos and, you know, an all-around defenseman, the Brent Seabrooks. You got to be able to do everything. This guy reinvented the position. We want a defenseman that's a run and gun, a fourth forward, theoretically, but can still play okay in his back end. He's a Norris Trophy winner. He's a Stanley Cup winner. The guy pretty much took Colorado to that next level. Imagine him with Nicholas Lidstrom. Oh my gosh. Like, it's over. It's over. It's just Victor Hedman. It's crazy. You're crazy.
Oh, you're going to hate some of my my last pick. My next pick, I'm going to be the first one to pick a goalie, arguably the best goalie of all time. Certainly, I think, in this window, look at every stat, and he's on top of the leaderboard. Martin Brodeur is my goalie pick.
He's a very sweet pick. Yeah. Again, you go quantity over quality. Martin played a ton of games. Do I think he was the best goalie ever? I don't. But that's a great pick. It's a good, well, for me. I would say, Tim, you've had your first two picks were great. Ovechkin and Crosby, rock solid. Your last three, terrible.
We're going to let the voters go for this. Mario Lemieux retired in 2005.
Kid can't even say his name. Yes, I know that one was a little bit of a stretch. I'm going for sentimental value on that one. I'm going for, and he was good. That's the thing. He played not a lot of games, but he put up a ton of points in the games that he played. All right, my last pick.
Yeah, two more.
Two more, excuse me. I'm going to pick my goalie last just because you've already picked your goalie. So I'm going to, well, you got a D coming up. I go back and forth on this. Do I go sentimental value back in the day with a Peter Forsberg, a guy who was absolutely rock solid, power forward? Everybody knows what he did with the Avalanche. Or do I go with a new type player? Talk about multiple Stanley Cups. Top of a magician with the puck. And I think I'm going to go with the newer player. I think he'd be fun to play with McDavid and really, really entertaining with Mario Lemieux on his shotgun side. Is it Dreisaitl? No, it's not. It's Nikita Kucherov. It's Nikita Kucherov from the Tampa Bay Lightning. Talk about just pure God-given talent. It's just Nikita Kucherov. So he is my third forward. I now have Kucherov, McDavid, and Mario effing Lemieux. And you have Crosby, Ovechkin, and Kane. It's very good. I balanced out the generations. You just went straight 2005 to 2015. That's it. That was the one decade you looked at.
Those guys were great. Are still playing. Some of those players won cups after that window that you just talked about. So yeah, these guys, okay.
Other than Brodeur, you did not go past 2010.
We just talked about Ovechkin came in 2003. John, these guys have been around.
This 22 is, this years is, he's been playing?
I span the entire 25 years.
Whatever you say, Tim.
This last one is difficult for me. And I think I need one more defenseman. And I look at my first guy's Hedman. I've got the size. I got the speed. I had the hardware. Do I go with Erik Karlsson?
Started in 2006, you liar. 2000.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Erik Karlsson has the most points in this entire 25 years. Do I go with him? Brent Burns is right there behind him. Do I go with the guy who's got a ton of points and cuffs and Chris Letang? Roman Josi. Like, there's so many good picks. John Carlson. I'm going to pick a player that... Oh, Drew Doughty. That's a good one, too.
Oh, my gosh. All these players...
I'm naming someone that I haven't said yet, and this is a player that you're gonna make fun of me for, and you're gonna say this is over, and you went, I think we're overlooking this guy in his prime, and you think about him paired with Hedman on the back end would be like an impenetrable fortress. A little bit of a homer pick, John. My final pick.
Don't is say Chara. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Chara and Hedman. The tallest
good
pairing.
Luck. Oh, McDavid's so fast. Good luck getting by him. Good luck getting past them. The reach that these guys have. They made a living shutting down like McDavid, guys like him, their whole careers. No problem whatsoever.
No, you're right. Yeah, there's no way.
I wish you luck.
there's no way my team is ever going to get past any of your players. Are you serious? Like, are you honestly serious?
Who's your last one?
It's a goalie. So I, again, a lot to choose from here. I think Marty Brodeur was a cute pick. Do I go, you know, most wins in the last 25 years? Maybe Marc-Andre Fleury? I don't think so. Do I go, you know, Stanley Cups? Do you go Vasilevsky? There's a lot of great picks, but I'm going to go, oh gosh, Tim, I think I'm just going to go more recent. A guy who has not won a Stanley Cup, but is arguably been the best goalie on the planet for the last 5 to 6 years. Oh, do I go that, or do I go Henrik Lundqvist? Oh my gosh.
This is terrible. Whatever you're thinking is going to be the wrong one.
Well, it's Hellebuck or Lundqvist.
Okay. I mean, how about Luongo? How about Vasilevsky?
Ryan Miller, friend of the show. There's a lot of Jonathan good goaltenders Quick out there. I was kind of hopeful you're going to pick Dominic Hasek too, but I'm not going to do Dominic Hasek. I feel like I pulled that cord with the Mario Lemieux and I can't do it twice on one team. So, all right. I will make my pick right now. I might regret this. I'm going to regret it as soon as I say it. Henrik Lundqvist. I'm going to go Henrik Lundqvist. He didn't win a cup, but I played with him in New York, so I know what he does. I know his work ethic. A hell of a goaltender. So I'm going to go with him. Henrik Lundqvist to round up my team. They got Kucherov, McDavid, Lemieux up front. This is where the forwards are a wash, I feel like. I hands down have better defense than you. Not even close with Nick Lidstrom and Cale Makar. Not even close. Like you botched that with Hedman and Chara. So that my defense sets me apart right there. Who's your puck mover, Tim?
Oh, Hedman, who's put up like 70 points multiple times. God.
Because he gives it to Kucherov. That's what he does. That's all.
That was like to McDavid and Crosby and Ovechkin.
It's a new game. But anyways, very fun, Tim. We'll put this up on Twitter. And then for the listeners, for our friends of the show on Patreon, let us know if we messed up. I'm sure you will. I'm sure we missed some pretty obvious choices because there's a lot of good players to choose from. It's a fun game to play. But yeah, please let us know. Because we're only human. And I'm sure there's like a young kid or a goaltender or this and that. Like you mentioned, Dominic Hasek or some guy we left out, even like an Igor Shesterkin, who's played fantastic in, you know, the few years he's been in the NHL, or Patrick Waugh, who played a couple games. But
you know what, John? I'm surprised that you didn't pick a guy who's third most points in this 25 years, Jumbo Joe, your pal. You can make a case for him being up there.
No, you can't, because he is the third most points because of the amount of games that he played. And if you want to just do that, then yeah, you go Marlo Thornton and Ovechkin, Kopitar for Pete's sake, Matt Cullen. You go with quality, not quantity.
I think I went with the guys who had the best careers over that 25-year gap. Maybe just different mindsets.
What defines a best career, though?
Stanley Cups, points. I think so, the two things right there. So, and you picked like, okay, the best. I mean, they're both.
I think you're arguing for me right now.
We'll let the people vote. We'll let the people vote.
I agree. But anyways, is there anything else, Tim? Let's do some couple quick hits before we get out of here.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets lost Sean Monahan to a sideline injury about 6 to 8 weeks. So we could That's see tough. Them make a move, or maybe this shifts them to the seller category. He got hurt a few weeks ago. The Cavs re-signed Logan Thompson to a 6-year, $5.85 million contract. He has been very, very good for them. We were saying before the show, we're going to have to spend some time on the Capitals and what they've done. And what he's brought to them is incredible.
Oh, he's been arguably the best signing that they brought in this offseason. And he makes less than 800 grand this year. Like, talk about nailing it for the Washington Capitals and a blunder by the Vegas Golden Knights to let go of this guy. He was so good for them. They let him go because of Aiden Hill, but he has earned every dollar that he earned getting this new contract. So good for him, because he's made like league minimum, Tim, his last 5 years in the NHL. So good on you, Logan Thompson. The guy's a stud.
This is an interesting one. So Alex Pietrangelo announced yesterday, the day before, that he is bowing out of the Four Nations tournament, obviously on Team Canada, that he didn't feel well enough to play and wanted to deal with some injury stuff. And then he played an NHL game that night. So he's clearly well enough to play. It's prioritizing, you know, his actual NHL salary career versus this tournament from a guy who's played in multiple, you know, World Cups and Olympics and all that. But a lot of people aren't happy with the fact that, like, hey, this is important. You're healthy enough to play, but you're not. And so first question is, should fans be frustrated about this? And second question is, should the NHL care? Like, does it look bad for Gary and his team that people are playing, bowing out, even though they're well enough to play in the NHL?
Well, people should care. I think they are allowed to have their opinions, and that's perfectly fine. And they're frustrated. He's a great player. Pietrangelo is one of the best defensemen for Canada. I think this is a smart move. Your allegiance lies with your team, whoever signed your paycheck, and that's the Vegas Golden Knights. So whatever, like, he might have some underlying issue that, you know, you can play with, but it stinks. And would a nice 5 or 6 day break be good for you? Hell yeah. You know, the playoffs are around the corner. You got to get 100%. So why risk that by going to the Four Nations, which doesn't, let's be honest here. The Four Nations doesn't have the same weight as the Olympics does. It doesn't have the same weight even as a World Championships does. It's cute. It has some history behind it, but it's not the same. And so if I'm him, if I'm these older guys and I have an issue, even if I just want to break, you know, I want to exhale. Hell yeah, I'm not playing. Sure. So yeah, Gary, I don't think Gary cares at all. So good for Pietrangelo to prioritize his team and his health over just trying to make people happy. I like it.
Cool story last night. This kid named, I would say kid, a man, Dominic Schein. Dominic Schein is from Detroit. He played at Northern Michigan, John, in your old league. Made his NHL debut last night at 31 years old after playing 9 years for the Griffins since graduating college. So really cool to see guys at that age make their debut and stick with it for so long. And even if he gets sent down today, he'll have that forever. So pretty neat. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I saw that. Good story. Even coming from a terrible school, like the Northern Michigan Wildcats, who were arguably the worst university in the world, some people say.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Last one here. We're saving the best for last.
Eat it. This next one. Eat it up. And take it, Tim. This is
Tony D'Angelo. Tony D'Angelo signed with the Islanders over the weekend. 1 year, $775K prorated for the, you know, half the season being gone. And what's interesting about this, like we talked about last week, he got cut and released from his KHL team. He signed with the Islanders at basically league minimum, had to pass through waivers because of the point in the season that they're at. No one else claimed him. And this is kind of funny too, that I want to say it was either Brock Nelson or one of the guys in the Islanders had all or Horvat. They had a bunch of like unsolicited text messages from players and other people around the league saying, hey, Tony's a great guy, great teammate. You're going to love him. Like he's going to fit in well with your locker room. So John is just itching to jump in. John, your guy, your boy is back in the league.
I'm just waiting for you to say something.
I was wrong about this. Go. Yeah, I thought he was done. I thought he was, and not because of the talent. Obviously, he's a very talented player. I didn't think anyone would touch him. And here it is a week later. So,
Tim, there are players wrong in the league who have done some very terrible things.
Yeah.
Very, very terrible things. Making a lot of money. And you thought that Tony D'Angelo wasn't going to be allowed because he's a little outspoken about some things? Not a chance. The guy's a talented player. We knew he was going to I knew he was going to tie on somewhere. And funny thing, he shows up right off the plane, jumps in the first game. Pulock gets hurt within the first 15 seconds. Tony D plays 25 minutes in his first game for the Islanders, and they go out and they beat the Carolina Hurricanes. It's a fantastic showing for him in his first game. I watched most of the game. He played great. He obviously has jet lag coming from Russia. But yeah, it's good to see him back. My prediction, he will play 25 games. He's already running their power play. He will get 32 points. He will be over a point per game guy in the NHL. They have no one to run their power play on the island. This guy is going to be, he's going to get a lot of points. If you play fantasy, pick him up right now because this guy is going to be good. He's going to get 18 minutes a game. He's over a point per game. That's my prediction with this guy.
I got to figure out what the heck happened with Noah Dobson and how he fell off so much, but I don't watch those games. Maybe someone else will let us know. Anything else, John?
No, I'm glad you acknowledged your mistake. I appreciate that. That's big of you. But anyways.
Okay.
That's all, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you all on Thursday. Cheers.
What makes a good bet? At Virgin Bet, we think it's a simple bet, a responsible bet, a last-minute winner when you're down to 10 men kind of bet, with generous offers. A bet that puts sport first. Sound like your kind of bet? Then you're ready to get started. Sign up and get £20 in free bets when you bet £10 on sports. Virgin Bet, a good bet. New members, min bet settled in first 14 days, 1.5 minimum odds. Free bets valid 7 days on sports. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Bet responsibly. 18 plus, gamblerware.org.